Parshas Naso begins with the Hayrashah of taking the census of the Levim. It's not a din l'doris. And then starting from Shlishi on, we start with the halachas that are noig l'doris. So the first din you have at Shlishi is Shiluach Tmeim Min HaMachne. The Gemara in Psachim points out that the word Machne appears three times in the Pasuk. And three different tmeim are mentioned. It says tsarua b'zava tamilo nafesh. So the Gemara says there are three different machnes. There's machne shchina, that's the azara. Then there's machne levia, is the harabais, and there's machne yisrael, is Yerushalayim. So the mitzora is the highest form of tuma of the three. So the mitzora is not allowed to enter the whole Yerushalayim. The Zav is a Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay, so he's not allowed, he's permitted to enter Yerushalayim, but he's not permitted to enter the Harabais. And the Tomei Lo Nafesh, the Tomei Meis, is only a Tumah Smago, it's not a Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay. Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay means Tumah developed in the person, not that he touched the dead sheretz, or he attended a funeral, or he touched the person who's a Zav. The Tumah developed in him. That says Zav Zav and Nidi Aledis and Mitzoro. Those five people are Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay. So Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay, there are several differences between Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay and Tumah Smaga. One of them is the Tumah HaYotzah Olam Migufay is Osir in the whole Harabais, Menatera. And the Tomei Meis Menatera is only Osir in the Azora. And Medir Abonin, they divided the Harabais into different sections. We're learning Yivamis this year in the Yeshiva. So Tosis in the beginning of Yivamis quoted Mishnayis about that. That the Mishnayis and Kalim, the first parak in Kalim, that they divided Medir Abonin and Harabais into different sections, and the Tomei Meis is not allowed to enter the inner sections of the Harabais. The din is that the Mitzor is not only not permitted to enter Yerushalayim, he's not permitted to enter any of the Ayoras HaMakof Eschaimim Mimois Yeshua Benun. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, where the Ayoras HaMakof Eschaimim Taka have the same din as Yerushalayim. It's Taka called Machne Yisrael, and if the Mitzor will enter Lo Yovel Tocha Machne Lo Yitamas Machanem, he'll be Loike. But he's saying no, only Yerushalayim has a lav. Yerushalayim is called Machne Yisrael. Ayoras HaMakov Eschaim is an essay. If the Mitzor will enter, he'll be in violation of the essay Yishalchem Min HaMachne, but it won't be a violation of the Loise essay. So some Rishonim are of the opinion Taka that all Ayoras HaMakov Eschaim have the same level of Kiddusha, the same status as Yerushalayim Mamish. So that's what the Mabit was, a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. He lived in Tzvat, same time. At that time, there were no Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael. There were only Svardim. All the Rabbonim were Svardim, all the Balabatim were only Svardim. So the Mabit was a Bar Plukta. He disagreed with the Beis Yosef a lot about a lot of different issues, but they were together in the same Bezdin and Tzvat. So they both wrote a sefer on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesef Mishnah, where he quotes all the Marmakaimas and he discusses all the difficult Rambams. And the Mabit wrote the Kiryas Sefer. If you compare the two, so we understand why the Kesef Mishnah won. And the Kesef Mishnah is printed on the side of the Rambam, and the Mabit is printed in a separate sefer, because he doesn't give Marmakaimas on every Rambam. Once in a while, he'll try to figure out where the Ram got it from, so he goes into outer space. He starts going with Svaris and original Chidushim. The Kesef Mishnah just goes line by line in the Rama. Where does this line come from? Where does that line? It's real Marmakaimas. So the Mabit, usually someone is learning in a Kollel, and he wants to say Ashtikal Teres, so you take out the Kiryas Sefer and you find something strange there, and you'll have what to discuss. He always has very unusual things. So he has over here also a very strange thing. He claims that half of the Rishonim are of the opinion, all Ayaris HaMakof Eschaim, Mos Yeshua Benun, have the same din as Yerushalayim, we know, and that group of Rishonim hold that if the Mitzorah enters any ear HaMakof Eschaim, he'll be like it. Not only is it an essay, Yishalchem and HaMachne, it's a lois essay also. So he raises the question, if that's really true, that all Ayaris HaMakof Eschaim have the status of Machne Yisrael, so then you should be able to eat Kachim Kalim in all Ayaris HaMakof Eschaim, like Yikachim Kalim in Yerushalayim. So he says, in theory, you should be able to. But you have to shecht all the korbanos, including Kachim Kalim in the Azara. So when you shecht it in the Azara, so how are you going to get it to the year HaMakof Eschaim? You have to take it out of Yerushalayim, travel to the other city, so it'll be Nifsal B'Yotzei. So once it's nifsal b'yotzei, even if you take it back into Yerushalayim, or you take it into another ir hamakefes chayma, once it's nifsal b'yotzei, so he can't eat it. That's his teretz. So then he's bothered with a kasha. So then you should be able to eat ma'aser sheni in ayaris hamakefes chayma ma'aser shor b'nun, because ma'aser sheni is not nifsal b'yotzei. There's no psal b'yotzei ma'aser sheni. So he comes up with a whopper of teretz that the place where you have to eat ma'aser sheni has to be more mekudesh than the place where you eat kachim kalim. For the purpose of eating kachim kalim, it would really be sufficient to eat in all ayaros hamakafis chayim ma'aser shor b'nun, because they all have the status of Machne Yisrael. And the only reason why you can't is a technical reason, because it'll be nifsal b'yotzei. The shechit has to be in the azora, and when you'll bring it to the ir hamakafis chayim, it'll be nifsal b'yotzei. But ma'aser sheni, no, ma'aser sheni, you have to eat in the place. The pasuk says you should eat ma'aser sheni Yerushalayim, and you should be inspired with Yerushalayim. So Tosfos in the first parak in Bava Basra quotes the Sifrei on the pasuk: how will the people be inspired with Yerushalayim by eating the ma'aser sheni Yerushalayim? They'll see the kohanim being makrib the karbanos and so on. So that's only going to be in Yerushalayim. That's not going to be in the ayora, in the other ayoras on the kafes chayma ma'aser shor b'nun. There's no azar there. You're not makrib any karbanos. So that's the chiddush, that the double chiddush that the Mabit has. He says chiddush number one: in theory, you should really be able to eat kachim kalim and all ayaros hamakaf is chayma. The only reason why you can't is a technical reason; it'll be nifsal b'yotzei because you shechted in the azara. And then the second chiddush is: so why can't you eat ma'aser sheni? So he says no, ma'aser sheni has to have more lifnei Hashem than kachim kalim. It has to be the place where the makor of karbanos. That second knech, that in order to eat ma'aser sheni, you have to have a mokam yoisa mekudosh, Rashi and Shavuos points out that the Ami Ha'aretz held like that. The Ami Ha'aretz bizman ba'aser sheni, there was a location which the government added onto Yerushalayim for security purposes, because they know that the army will be ma'aser nefesh more to protect the capital than to protect the other cities. So they declared a certain part right next to Yerushalayim as part of Yerushalayim, legally, but they were never mekadosh it. They never added the kedushas Yerushalayim. So because they never had kedushas Yerushalayim, so you're not permitted to eat either ma'aser sheni nor kachim kalim there. It was just for government purposes, for the post office purposes. It was called Yerushalayim, but al pidin it didn't have kedushas Yerushalayim. So the Gemara has a brisa there in Shavuos on Daf Tazayin that the Ami Ha'aretz used to eat kachim kalim there, but they wouldn't eat ma'aser sheni. So what was that compromise all about? So Rashi says, oh, the Ami Ha'aretz, they held this svara like the Mabit, that to eat ma'aser sheni has to be a makom mo mekudesh. So that they all knew. You need a makom mo mekudesh for ma'aser sheni. So that's what the Ami Ha'aretz thought. And the whole thing is wrong, because the place, you're not allowed to eat even kachim, you're not allowed to eat anything there. It didn't have kedushas Yerushalayim. So the question is, what about this part of what the Ami Ha'aretz thought? Is everything wrong? Or is this part... So the Mabit writes in the Kiryas Sefer, he thinks that this part of the Ami Ha'aretz was correct. There's a famous Ritva in Makkos where the Ritva writes, if anything, just the reverse. There is a Gemara in Psochem on Daf Peivov where the Gemara says, Gagam Aliyos Lo Niskatshu. When you want to eat Korban Pesach, you have to eat it on the ground level. You can't eat it on a higher flight, on top of the rooftops or on a higher floor. Everybody has to eat Korban Pesach on the ground level. The Pashup Shat Nigamar that it's not only by Korban Pesach, most of the Rishonim assume it's by all Kachim Kalim. Some Rishonim say it's only Korban Pesach. Rabbi Kivega on the side of the Gemara is Mitzayin, where the Rishonim discuss it. And the Pashtus is that it's all Kachim Kalim, have to be eaten Dafka on the ground level. So Tosfos and Makkos has a Kasha. The Gemara talks about a person sitting on top of a branch of a tree and eating Ma'aser Sheni. So Tosfos has to kash it, but Gagam Aliyos Lo Niskatshu. You have to eat kachim kalim on the ground level, so how can you eat ma'aser sheni on the branch of the tree? So various terutzim are given. So the Ritva says, that halacha Gagam Aliyos Lo Niskatshu, that's only by kachim kalim. Ma'aser sheni is easier. Ma'aser sheni, Gagam Aliyos has enough kedushas Yerushalayim. So the Ritva says just the opposite from this Mabit. He says that the Pashtus says most of the Rishonim hold that the mokum where you eat ma'aser sheni is identical with the mokum where you eat kachim kalim. Yerushalayim. It's the same Yerushalayim. If it's Yerushalayim for one, then it's Yerushalayim for the other. And the Mabit goes with the Ami Ha'aretz that the mokum where you eat ma'aser sheni has to be more important than the Mokum. It's not the same, not identical. Mokum Achilas Masheni has to be more chashuv, has to be closer to the Avodah, to the Kohanim doing the Avodah, like the Amei Haaretz thought. And the Ritva says, if anything, the reverse, he says, that the Mokum for eating Kochim Kalim has to be more chashuv than the Mokum for eating Maisa Sheni. So this is the Sifrei Zuto. We have a regular Sifrei. That's mid basement Rosh Hashal Reb Akiva, the Sifrei. The Gemara says what? Stam Sifro is Reb Yudah, and Stam Sifre is Reb Shimon if it doesn't have any name. So if it's anonymous, then we assume it's Reb Shimon. And Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir, and Stam Tosefta is Reb Nechemia, and everything is Aliba the Reb Akiva. They were all Talmidim of Reb Akiva. Then in addition to the regular Sifrei, which is the Tanoim's commentary on Bamidbar and Dvorim, you have the Sifrei Zuto. We only have Sifrei. It's a different Sifrei. It's a different style Hebrew. It's more Aramaic Hebrew. And it's based on Rosh Hashal Rabbi Shmuel. A lot of times it disagrees with the regular Sifrei. So the Sifrei Zuta begins over here with this din of Shiluch Tmeim and Amachna, and it lists off Esa Kedushas Hein. That's a Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim. So it lists off Esa Kedushas Hein. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzes. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. And then Ayaris HaMekafes Chayma have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Then Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedusha than Ayaris HaMekafes Chayma. Then Harabais has a higher level of Kedusha. Then within Harabais you have Minator, the whole Harabais is one. Midirabana, they declared three different sections of Harabais. And Nafkeminis Ledina Halacha Lamaisa Midirabana, and then the three different sections. And then you have the Azara, then you have Ben Hulam Olam Mizbeach, then you have the Hechel, then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then you have Bein Abadim, 10 different levels of Kedusha. So this appears in the first parak in Mishnayis Kelim, Esa Kedusha Sein, and that's how the Sifrei Zuta begins over here. There are slight discrepancies between the way it's presented in the Mishnah and Kelim and the way it's presented in the Sifrei Zuta. So Rav Menachem Zember wrote a whole kuntras, 100 pages long, on the discrepancies. That's called Otsa HaSifrei. Menachem Zember was a businessman. All of his life he had a hardware store. And he was one of the greatest goyim. He was killed by the Nazis. One of the greatest goyim. And there was a whole group that had chaverim. They were all businessmen. And they were goyim. They knew all the Yerushalmis. They knew all the Teseftas. They knew all the Yerushalmis. They knew everything. So one of his businessmen, chaverim, was putting out the Sifrei Zuta with Haoris on it. So he sent them all the galleys. He sent Rav Menachem Zember all the galleys. And yes, maybe you'll add on some Haoris. So he wrote a whole kuntras, 100 pages long, just, between Mincha Maariv. He wrote a whole kuntras to explain the discrepancies between the way the Esa Kedushas appear in the Mishnah in First Perek in Kelim and the way it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. One of the discrepancies that Rav Soloveitchik used to talk about this, every year and a half or so he would bring this up, he liked this. He didn't quote it from Menachem Zember, he said on his own. One of the discrepancies is in the Mishnah it says Eretzol Mekudeshes Mikol HaRotzos Shemivim Eretzol has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz Loretz. Where do you see that has Kedusha? Shemivim Imena HaOimer Ushtei Alechem VaHabikurim. The Oimer that you bring on the first day Chalamite Pesach Minchas Oimer is barley, and Ushtei Alechem is a korban from wheat that you bring on Shavuos. So the wheat and the barley have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So it's very strange, from all the dinim, you want to say Eretzol Mekudesh, say Eretzol has Kedusha, you bring Trumas and Maris and Shemitah V'yayva Leket Shikra Peya. There are 25 dinim, Mitzvah Satliyaz Bar, it's Chala. Why is it only mentioned this? Shemivim Mena Oimer Shtei Alechem. The most, the din that most people never heard of. That the Oimer Shtei Alechem has to have grown Dafkin Eretz Yisrael. Other menachas don't have to, other flour that you use for Kamin Mincha, do not have to necessarily have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Only the barley for the Mincha Sa'omer and the wheat for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos has to dafke have grown in Eretz Yisrael. So from all the 25 mitzvahs, from all the 35 mitzvahs, at least was, the Mishnah only mentions this. And then it says in the Mishnah, Eretz HaMekodesh is Mekol HaRotzes, Shemivim Mena Ha'omer Shtei Alechem B'Habikurim. Bikurim only applies in Eretz Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon crosses Ad Bikurim. And the Sifrei Zuta doesn't say Bikurim. Why did he cross Ad Bikurim? It's correct. You only bring Bikurim from Eretz Yisrael. What's the issue? Whether it does say Bikurim, it doesn't say Bikurim. So that's where Menachem Zember has this whole fantastic pshat. Rav Soloveitchik said exactly the same. The Mishnah is telling us, Esa Kedusha saying this Sifrei Zuta the 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. Of course Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Has Kedushas HaOretz, and you only observe the mitzvahs HaTliyas Ba'aretz, the agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So, but the Mishnah is not talking about the agricultural mitzvahs. The Mishnah means to tell us there are 10 levels in Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, the core, the makor of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, the most intense degree of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As you go out, the Kedusha spills out, spills over, and it goes lower, lower, lower. So the Heichal has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. And Bein Ha'ulam Olam Mizbech has a lower level. The rest of Azora has a lower level. And Har HaBayis has a lower level. But it's all levels, 10 levels of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah, in the first parak in Kelim, in the Sifrei Zuta asks, where do you see that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash? Maybe has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. From the fact that Yechayv and Shumas and Marsis and Shemitah the Yehov Olekit Shikra Peah, because it has Kedushas HaOretz. So it has the agricultural mitzvahs. Where do you see which Halach indicates that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash? We have a din, Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, offered the tefillah that appears both in Melochim and in Divrei Hayomim, with slight discrepancies. So he says in his tefillah, "V'spada alecha derech habayis hazeh." Everyone should face the Beis HaMikdash. When you daven, you should come to daven. Kibesi beis tefili. Everyone should come to daven in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you're davening outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. Then he says, "V'spada alecha derech ir hazos." V'spada alecha derech artzom. If you're in Eretz Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim, you should face Yerushalayim. If you're in Chutz Lo'etz, you should face Eretz Yisrael. So you see from that din that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. From that din you see, or the Gemara has a concept, Kol HaKova Beretz Yisrael, Yesh Lo Kapara. Kapara is from the Beis HaMikdash. When you bring Karbonis, you get Kapara. The Makom Kapara is Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara learns that, the Chiper Admosai Amoy, from the concluding Pasuk in Shiras Hazinu, the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk means something else, but the additional level of interpretation, the Chiper Admasa Ama is that if a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets an atonement for his sins if he does tshuva. Living in Eretz Yisrael is mechapa. So you see, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. You see, from those dinims, from those ideas. So that's what the Mishnah wants to demonstrate. Where do you see that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdash? Maybe it has Kedushas HaOretz, maybe it has nothing to do with Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says, the din is that the oimer, the barley for the minchas oimer, and the wheat for the shtei lechem has to have grown in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean? They don't let you. There's no farmland in the Beis HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So the fact that the minchas oimer and the shtei lechem have to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, because all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So in the Mishnah it says Shavim Emena Ha'omer Shtei Alechem V'Habikurim. It says Bikurim also. Bikurim is not from the mitzvah Satliyas Ba'aretz. Bikurim is a separate din. You only bring Bikurim if it grew in a Beis HaMikdash, and all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Vilna Gaon crosses out Bikurim. In the Sifrei Zuta doesn't say Bikurim. The Vilna Gaon crosses out, doesn't explain why. So that's what Rav Menachem Zemb explained. That Rav Soloveitchik said the same. The Vilna Gaon held that Bikurim is from the mitzvah Satliyas Ba'aretz. So that doesn't belong over here. That doesn't prove anything. The Mishnah is trying to prove that of all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The 10 levels, that's the Kedusha saying, 10 levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So that Sifrei Zuta is the first Sifrei Zuta on Bamidvar. Is on the Shiluch Tmei Min HaMachna. Starts with the Esek Kedushas.
Yeah.
There are Gemaras like that, yes.
About being buried in Eretz Yisrael, if he does tshuva, he gets a kapara. If he does tshuva, even if he's not buried in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a kapara.
No, there are chiluki kapara. Sometimes the Gemara says, abo chiluki kapara, the Gemara at the end of Yuma. I think it's also daf pevo. So the Gemara says, if a person, overall essay, person violated the mitzvah says and he does tshuva, so right away he gets a mechila. Over Allah says, so tshuva toila v'yom kippurim mechapi, has to wait till Yom Kippur. If his ayva increases, so tshuva with Yom Kippur is only toila, have to wait till he gets yisurim. And if he violated chil Hashem, only tshuva with Yom Kippur, with yisurim is only toila, partially, until Yom HaMisa. Yom HaMisa is mechapi. So one who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, one who lives in Eretz Yisrael, hastens the process of kapur. Let's say he violated lavim. He violated a lav. So the din is you have to wait till Yom Kippur till you get a mechila. So if he's living in Eretz Yisrael, so that's mechaper. But it's only the Pnei Yeshua says on that Gemara. One who lives in Eretz Yisrael gets a kapur, it's self-understood, only if he does tshuva. There's never any kapur without tshuva. There's a machlekes atanoim, Rebbe Nachachamim, where the Yom Kippur is mechaper without tshuva. So the Rambam assumes that it's not mechaper. We don't know what the Bezun Shalmaila, how can we paskan on the Bezun Shalmaila? But it's a shaila for them to decide. But the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, writes, there's never any kapora without tshuva. When a person gets malchus, v'nikla achicha la'enecho, kima shaloka, harek achicha, he gets a mechila, gets kapora for the aveira. That's only Rambam says if he does tshuva when he gets the malchus. When he gives Mises Bezun, so the Mishnah recommends he should say vidui. If he's not going to do tshuva, then Mises Bezun is not going to be a mechapen. When you bring karbonis, Rambam says you have to do tshuva. So too the Pnei Yeshua says, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to do tshuva. Some of the Zionists thought, they'll go to Eretz Yisrael, do all the averes they want, they'll live in Eretz Yisrael, will be mechapen. So the Minkacher was the main anti-Zionist by all the Hungarians. So he writes, my great-grandfather, the Pnei Yeshua, writes in his Sefer HaKesubos, that based on the Rambam, there's no kapara without tshuva. So the Zionists are making a mistake. If they go to Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael is not going to be mechapa if you don't do tshuva.
Is there also
a din
by Master Behemoth before that they're only Nikrov in Yerushalayim if they're born in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, there are other dinim also, yeah. The Rada Halachas also, that are not really mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz, but seem to indicate that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the dinim, yeah. So the parsha starts off with the din of shiloch tmeim and amachna. The next din you have is a chiddush din, the parsha of gezel hager. In the end of parshas vayikra, you have the din of asham gzelus. There are six ashamas. So one of them is asham gzelus. Asham gzelus means if I swore, you ask me where's $100 that I owe you, and I swear falsely I don't owe you a penny. Then later on I admit that I swore falsely, so I have to pay you back the $100, and I have to add chaymish. Chaymish doesn't mean the way we say chaymish, we usually think means 20%. So the Mishnah says not means 25%. When you pay $125, so the extra $25 will be one-fifth of the total amount that you pay. So I have to pay, because I swore falsely, if I didn't swear falsely, so I just pay you the $100, Mishai. If I swore falsely, then the halacha requires I have to pay you a keren v'chaymish, I have to pay $125, and then I bring Asham Gezelos. And you can't begin to bring the Asham Gezelos until you first pay the keren, until I first pay you the money. So what happens if the person to whom I owe the money is no longer alive? So I pay to his yorshim. Then the pasuk says, and what happens? Mainly ish goyel, the hashiv hashem meilav, the man doesn't have any yoresh, so then the one to whom I owe the money, to whom I swore falsely, he doesn't have any yorshim. So then Halacha says, I have to give the Kerem HaChaymish to the Kohen. I go to the Beis HaMikdash, whichever Kohanim are there, Anshei Mishmar, that week, every week they have different Kohanim. Whoever happens to be there that day, I give the Kerem HaChaymish, then I'm able to bring the Oshim. So the Gemara has the comment, the Chiyesh L'chodim Yisol She'en Lo Goyel. How is it possible a person dies and he doesn't have any Yorshim? That's a person never had any children. But he has brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins. How is it possible? He has relatives. Everybody has a relative. So the only possibility is a ger shemeis ve'en lo yorshim. A ger who converts is no longer related to his non-Jewish relatives. Ger shen izgar kekotin shenoy ladomi. And if he didn't have any children yet, so he's not related to a soul in the world. He's not related to anybody. So the Gemara says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. This parsha is the parsha of gezel hager. So that's the Chasam Sofer has, in addition to his Shadis HaTshuvas, has Chidushim on the Masechta. So in his Sefer on Masechus Avodah Zarah, he raises the question, how did the Tanoim know that there's such a Chidush din of Gershon Izgar Kekotin Shanol Adami? It's a fantastic Chidush. We learned in Yevamos this year. that Minatora, let's say a brother and a sister converts, and Minatora they're permitted to marry each other because they're not related anymore. It's only Midirabbanan that we don't permit them to marry. And if you have two brothers converted, so Minatora they can come and testify together because they're no longer considered brothers. And even Midirabbanan, the Gemara says they never made a chumrah because Edom always come to Bezdin. Bezdin won't make a mistake. Brother should marry the sister because they may think that a brother's allowed to marry a sister. They don't always consult Rabbanim when they make a shidduch. But when it comes to Edom, there's nothing to worry about. So the Chasam Sofer asks, where in the world did the Tanoim get this wild notion from? That Gershon is gar, kakotin shenoy ladomi, that he's no longer related to his non-Jewish relatives from before. So he suggests, isn't that the pashtus in this parsha? Mainly ishgoy lahoshev hoshem elav. If a man, I swore falsely to the person, I don't owe him money, and then he dies and he doesn't have any Yorshim. The Gemara says the only way it's possible is a Gershon meis vein lo Yorshim. So this is the mocker of that din of Gershon is gar kakotin shenoy ladomi. So the Chasam Sofer asks, he doesn't see that this is such an adequate proof. Because you have in the end of Chumash Vayikra, we just read a few weeks ago, if a person sells a stei achuza, there's a stei mikne and a stei achuza. Stei achuza means I got to be Rusha from my father, got it from his father, his father, his father, all the way back to the days of Yeshua Benun. And when it comes to Yovel, I'm not going to have to give it away to anybody. This is my stei achuza. And a stei mikne is a field that I purchased from someone else. I only have it till Yovel. When it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it goes back to the original owner, to the rightful owner. So if I sold the stei achuza to someone else, so the Torah says, I have the right to begoil it back, to buy it back. And if I don't have any money, so then my kroivim, this gula's kroivim, my relatives, have a right to buy it back. And then it says, the mainly ish goyel, and if he doesn't have any relatives who buy it back, so goodbye. And he doesn't have any money, and he doesn't have any relatives, so he doesn't get it back till it comes to him, kippur shel yovel, then he'll get it back. Now it'll be a stay mikne by he sold it to someone else, and I'll get it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So it says over there also mainly ish goyel. So the Gemara says it doesn't mean he doesn't have a relative. It means he doesn't have any relatives who have enough money to buy it back. They can't afford to spend money to buy it back. So who says over here mainly ish goyel? The Chasam Sofer asks, how did the Tanoim know? Mainly ish goyel means gezel ager gershem meis bein lo yorshim, because gershem is got cut in shenol adam. He's not related to a soul in the world. Maybe it just means I owe money to someone, I swore falsely, he dies, I don't know who his relatives are. Of course he has relatives, but I don't know who his relatives are. Mainly Yishgoyal. Who says it goes on Gezel again? Maybe it goes. I don't know who the relatives are. So that's the Chasam Sofer's kash. How can the Chazal, if this is the mocker for Gershon, has got Chachanel Adame, it's not such a good proof. Maybe it just means, Mainly Yishgoyal, we don't know whom to give it back to. So a lot has been said about that kasha. What is the mocker of the din of Gershon is gar kakotin shenoy ladomi? I remember many years ago, Rabbi Breuer must have been, Rabbi Breuer listed, he lived in the neighborhood, he died at the age of 98. It must have been around 97 or so, 96. So he tells me he was blind the last couple of years of his life. So he tells me, a new sefer came out, am I familiar? A new sefer came out in Chumash called the Meshech Chochma. Are you familiar with it? When the Sefer came out, he must have been 50 years old. So it's a new Sefer. The Sefer came out before I was born. Meshech Chochma is by the Yor Sameach and Chumash. So it's a new Sefer came out. Are you familiar with the Meshech Chochma and Chumash by the author of the Yor Sameach? He says, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should forgive Rabbi Meir Simcha. He said such a nasty thing there. He's not allowed to say that. Shorei Le'Mori, God should forgive him. He made a mistake. He says, the Meshech Chochma discusses this issue, this Chasam Sofer's question, and the Chidushim HaMaseches of Avodah Zarah, how did the Chazal know that there's a din of Gershon is Gar Katan Shenoy Ladomi? So he says, the mocker is, the Pasuk says, that 3 days before Maimon HaSinai, everybody had to be purish from their wives. That when it comes Maimon HaSinai, the men and the women should all be Tohar. No one should be a Balkari, and the women shouldn't be Polet to Sheikh Mazera. And then after Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Bnei Yisrael, everybody can go back to live with their wives. Maimon HaSinai is over. So the Meshech Chochma raises the question, how can Moshe Rabbeinu tell them, Shuv Alechem Li'olechem, everybody can go back to their wives? Koide Matan Torah, probably some of them were married to relatives that are permitted by Bnei Noach. And after Matan Torah, you have a longer list of forbidden relatives. So how can you tell everybody can go back to your wives after Maimon Hasina? Now they're Jewish, now they have to observe all the laws of Arayas. So let's say someone is married to a sister-in-law, something like that. So Kodim Matan Torah, a goy is allowed to marry his sister-in-law. After Matan Torah, not allowed. So how can they tell everybody, Shavu Lechem Liyo Lechem? So the Meshach Chachman says, the answer is, Gershon, this guy, Katan Shanola Domi. Everything is mutter, because no one's related to anybody. That's what he writes. That's the mocker, and that's the mocker for the din of Gershon, this guy. So Rabbi Breuer said, Shorelei More, the Rabban Shalom should forgive him, Me'a Simcha, for writing that. He says, we lost our whole yichas then. We are Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yankov. We're descendants from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov. If you're going to say that at Har Sinai, we apply the rule of Gershon is God, Katan Shenola Domi. So we're not related to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov anymore. That's scandalous. You can't say that. It says in the whole Chumash like that. Elokei Avraham. We are related to Avram, Yitzchak. You don't say Katan Shenola Domi. That's the famous Maharal Miprag. Gershon has got cut and Shinola Domi applies to every other Geris except for Maimon Hasina. It's a question why, but that's what it says. That's what it says. Cut and Shinola Domi didn't apply. So that's where Rabbi Breuer said, you can't say like the Meshul Chachma. You can't say that at Maimon Hasina there was Gershon his Geir. If you say like that, then we're Oisi Achsonim. We just lost the whole Yichus. We're no longer descendants. We're no longer related to Avram Yitzchak and Yankov. You can't say such a thing. Anyway, this is the famous parsha of Gezel HaGer, the end of Bava Kama. You have all the dinim of Gezel HaGer. Right after Gezel HaGer, you have the parsha of Soto. And the Gemara has on Dav Gimel HaMaseh HaSoto, Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, regarding the pasuk, Dikine Yisishtoi. Dikine Yisishtoi means he's Masra, his wife. He warns his wife, Altistri, Mishploini, the husband is Choshed, that his wife is having an affair with someone else. So he warns her not to be misyached with that person. So there's a machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. Is this a mitzvah or is this a reshus? So we pass like Rabbi Kiva. Bikini asisht is a mitzvah. It's a choivo. If the husband thinks that there's something going on, he's mechuyev to warn his wife. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He says, no, bikini asisht is just a description of what happened. Avraham avruch kina bikini asisht. If he did that. But it's not that he's mechuyev to be master of his wife. He doesn't have to be master at all. So the Gemara quotes another two psukim. The Gemara says that there are three psukim where there's a machlekes, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether it's a mitzvah or it's a reshus. So the first is, it's a masech ha-soita, dav gimel. So the first is, bikinei zishtoi. The second is, lo yitama. In Parshas Emor, it says, a kohen is not permitted to be mitami lemesim, unless it's one of the seven relatives. And if his sister dies, lachas sabsilu shalahoysa le'ish, lo yitama. So Rabbi Shmuel says, lo yitama. The kohen may attend the funeral if he so chooses. He may attend the funeral of the seven relatives. And we pass like Rabbi Kiva, lo yitam is a choiva. The kohen is obligated to attend the funeral of the seven relatives. Choiva. And the third case, where there's a machlokes, is liola mehem tavoidu. It says in the end of Chumash Vayikra, that if you have an Eved Ivri, he's either yotze b'sheish or b'yovel, whichever comes first. And an Eved Knaini is neither yotze b'sheish nor b'yovel, liola mehem tavoidu. So Rabbi Shmuel says, if you want, you can keep the Eved Knaini forever. If you want, you can free him. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and we pass on Rabbi Akiva. No, the Olam HaTavodah is a choivo. It's an Isser. Hamashachar Avdoi, over Be'esi. You're not permitted to free an Eved Knaini. One who frees Eved Knaini is in violation of this mitzvah, the Olam HaTavodah. So Tosfos on that daf has the famous kasha. The Gemara says in the end of Makkos that there are 613 mitzvahs. So here, Rabbi Shmuel just took off three mitzvahs. So Rabbi Shmuel only has six machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, on three psukim. So either Rabbi Kiva has 616 mitzvahs, or Rabbi Shmuel has 610 mitzvahs. What happened over here? The three mitzvahs that there's a machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva holds that the three are mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the three are rishus. So what's going to be with the lucky number of 613 mitzvahs? So the Rishonim all say, the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah writes, Mistameh Rabbi Shmuel will replace these with three other mitzvahs. So that's the discussion that the Achrayim have. Which are the other three mitzvahs that Rabbi Shmuel will replace? Which are the other three mitzvahs that Rabbi Kiva does not recognize as mitzvahs? Rabbi Shmuel does recognize as mitzvahs. So one of the Gedolim wrote the Yad David. He lived in France, I think, at the time of Napoleon. So he wrote the Yad David on Shas, many volumes. So he writes, he has the teretz. There's a machlekes hatanoim and a mishnah in Menachos. If you have four tzitzis in the four corners, is it considered one mitzvah, or is it considered four different mitzvahs? Rabbi Shmuel says arbosam arba mitzvahs, the four different mitzvahs. And we pask like against Rabbi Shmuel, we pask them ma'akvim zezeh, it's one mitzvah. So there you have it. Rabbi Shmuel added on another three mitzvahs. Those are the shayin. In one shot, he already has the three mitzvahs. So the Ksav Sofer and the Hagdamah to his tshuvas quotes this from the Yad David, and he says, that's a joke. He said, that's not correct. The Machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim and the Mishnah Menachos, there's a Perek HaTcheles in Menachos that has some of the laws of tzitzis. Doesn't have too many. The Gemara has a lot. The Mishnah hardly has any dinim. Because hardly any dinim. There aren't so many halachas about tzitzis. Everybody knows the dinim. Whatever was Yodua, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi didn't have to put in the Mishnais. So you hardly have anything about tzitzis and tefillin. Everybody knew the dinim. It's like a kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Everybody knew that. So you have a little bit in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah has this Machlekes HaTaim. You have tzitzis in four corners. What if you only have tzitzis in one corner? Do you say you have a partial mitzvah, or do you say you have no kima mitzvah at all? All the dalet tzitzis hama akfen zeh zeh. So that's the machalikah. So Rabbi Shmuel says, arba osan, arba mitzvahs. He doesn't mean that he counted in the sefer mitzvahs as four different mitzvahs. To put a tzitzis in the northeast corner of the beged and the southeastern corner of the beged, and the northwestern corner of the beged. No. He says that the dalet tzitzios are not makvim zezeh. Like if you have a house with 20 rooms, so you need 20 mezuzahs. So you don't count that as 20 mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on every door. So there's mitzvah to put tzitzah on each one of the four corners. You're repeating the same mitzvah four times. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin as one mitzvah to have all four tzitzios. And dalet tzitzios are makvim zezeh. If you're missing one, so you don't even have any kiyama mitzvah at all. But it's not that Rabbi Shmuel holds that they counted as four mitzvahs in the minyan of mitzvahs. That's what the Ksav Sofer Tainus. So the Ramban says here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Ramban writes he's not so convinced that all the Tanoim subscribe to this idea of 613. He says there's so many different Gemaras, whether it's a machlekes, whether something is a reshus or a mitzvah. But he says it became so accepted, it's so popular, so many midrashim, and so much was written on the calculation of the 613 mitzvahs. So he says, so be it. So we'll assume that there are 613 mitzvahs. He says, not so convinced in the first place. And then he says, if Rabbi Shmuel is going to delete these three mitzvahs, kinei yisishtoi, lo yitama, and le'olam ha'am tavoidu, so he probably has another three mitzvahs that Rabbi Kiva holds are not mitzvahs. So he'll replace them. That's how the Ramban. Ramban deletes about 17 mitzvahs sesei from the listing of the Rambam, and deletes about 17 mitzvahs lo sesei from the listing of the Rambam. So he replaces them with other 17 mitzvahs, which the Rambam did not recognize as mitzvahs for some reason or another.
Doesn't the Gemara say in Sota that nowadays we are not mekana our wives, even when it's choshish that his wife is being mezana? Because we can't be mashkeman?
Yeah, the Gemara recommends you shouldn't be mekani lishta bizmanazet because you get into big trouble. We don't have a base on migdosh, yeah.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah if you can go through with the whole procedure, yeah. If you can't, then there's no mitzvah. You're just going to make things, you're just going to create a problem which has no solution. Once he's mekani lishta, if you have kinu estira, she's misyached, then she's asur abayla till he brings it to the base on migdosh. So if you don't have a base on migdosh, so the Gemara recommends not to be mekani in the first place, right? No, that's not a mitzvah. If the Chumash just says if the husband is suspicious of his wife and he warned her not to be misyachid with someone and she went ahead and she did it, it's just a sipa dvar mi'alma. The Torah doesn't say you have to do that, so that's not counted as a mitzvah. Maybe you count parsha soita, the lahashka sasa soita, you can count that as a mitzvah. To do seder ha-soita, but you can't count v'kinei asishta as a mitzvah. The Gemara there in Soita Dav Gimel Amun Aleph initially makes a suggestion. Lema, should I say that the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is a machlekes in Kol HaTorah Kula? Whether Kol HaTorah Kula is it possible to have such a thing as a reshus or not? It's an interesting. Then the Gemara says, no, that's not. It's not a general machlekes. Each case, machlekes v'kinei sishtoi, lo yitama, le'olamem tavoide. Each case a local machlekes, it's not a general machlekes. What did the Gemara think originally? That it's a general machlekes, how do you look at Chumash? Is there such a thing as a dvar harushus? Very interesting, have a meaning the Gemara has. There's a Musa Sefer that was written by one of the Gedolim from Vilna, the same time as the Vilna Gaon Yisod V'Sheresh HaAvoda. Used to be, years ago, used to be a popular Sefer. So in the Yisod V'Sheresh HaAvoda, he refers to, it was written by Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. His descendants are known as Beraz, B'nai Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. Rosh Hashanah is Beis Reish Aleph Zayin. B'nai Rabbi Alexander Ziskin. Harry Fischel, I think, who gave a lot of money to YU years ago, was from the descendants from the Yisod V'Sheresh HaAvoda. Mishneh Berurah recommends you should learn Yisod V'Sheresh HaAvoda during Chodesh Elul. Okay. So those who know that it exists, there is such a Musa Sefer. The Sefer is only written for big Talmid Chacham. He only quotes Yerushalmis. He assumes everybody knows all the Bablis. He only quotes Zohars and Yerushalmis. Bablis, that's self-understood that everybody knows. No, that's not for a regular person. So in the Sefer, he said, V'sharash HaVayda, he refers to Klola HaYofa Shabal Chovis Alvavis. He says the author of the Chovis Alvavis develops a theme that there's never such a thing as a Dvar Hoshus. Either you're mechuyev to do this, or it's forbidden to do it. Let's say, we usually assume that all human activities are divided into three categories. You have to put on tefillin, you have to daven, you have to say Kriyat Shema, you have to wear tzitzis. Then you're not allowed to eat tray for food. You have to wash until you're dying before you eat. You have to bench after you finish eating. And then the rest of the day, you're not allowed to cheat in business. The rest of the day, you roam around in the street, you make a parnasa, that's all rishus. Make sure you don't do things that are prohibited. Make sure you do the mitzvahs. So 10% of what you do in the daytime, you're mechuyev to do. 10% you're not allowed to do. And 80% is a dvar hashus. You roam around. You do whatever you want. So the Baal Chovis Alvavus writes, there is no such thing. All the things that are rishus, a person is mechuyev to get married, is mechuyev to make a parnasa. He's not mechuyev to make billions of dollars. He's mechuyev to make a parnasa. And then when he made enough money for the day, so he's mechuyev to sit and learn the rest of the day. Then the question is, when he eats, should he have the dessert or not? So if he's overweight, he's not allowed to have the dessert. And if he's not overweight and he needs something to cheer him up, he's mechuyev to have the dessert. Should he go away on vacation? So if he needs relaxation, he's mechuyev to go on vacation. And if he doesn't need any relaxation, he's also to go on vacation. There's never a dvar hashus. Either you're mechuyev. When we talk about the gray area, dvar hashus, it means that sometimes it's also, sometimes he's mechuyev to. But it's never a rishus. There's never such a thing as a rishus. That's what the Yisod V'Sheresh HaAvoda refers to as Klola HaYofa Shal Baal Chovis Alvavus. So the Pashto says that was the Gemara's Havamina. The Gemara had a Havamina. Should I say that that's the Machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Is there such a thing as a Dvar Hoshus? According to the Chovis Alvavus, it doesn't exist. There's never a Dvar Hoshus. And the Gemara rejects it. Everybody agrees there's such a thing as a Dvar Hoshus. Machlekes says, how do you read the Psukim over here? So you have this big Parsha Soita. Parsha Soita is the Gemara has a klal ein samchem al anes. You can never rely machleik zabei v'rove. We assume ein samchem al anes psachim. And the one and only place where the Torah promises a nes l'doris is Parsha Soita. This is a miracle. It doesn't make any sense that the woman should die. The water is bitter. You mixed in a little karka. You mixed in a little sand, but she's not going to die because of the sin. And the Gemara says you have to mix in a little something that makes it taste bitter. But there's no reason why she should get sick and die. So the whole thing is a miracle. And the Gemara says, not only will she die, the boil will also die. The boil is not drinking. The boil can be in Afghanistan. It can be in Korea. It can be in America. Why should he die? He didn't drink it at all. The whole thing is a miracle. Then there's a machlekes hatanaim. Which do you do first? Do you drink the mayim hamarim first? Or do you bring the mincha first? It's unclear. So according to some Tanoim, first you drink the Mayim HaMoharim, and nothing happens, and then you bring the Mincha later. So if you bring the Mincha, then she's going to die. If you don't bring the Mincha, she's not going to die. The whole thing is a miracle. And the Torah promises this miracle, this will be Mevare, whether the woman was Mezana or not Mezana. There's one and only case where the Torah promises a miracle Adaris, to be Mevare, whether the woman was Mezana or not. The Gemara points out that from the smuchim, from the smichas haparshios, that the parsha of Soita is followed immediately with the parsha of Nazir. So the Gemara says the first daf in Soita, haroi Soita bikol kula yazer atzma min hayayin. That normally we don't recommend that a person should become an ascetic. and he should not drink wine. Normal people, you drink a little bit of liquor once in a while. But if a person lives in a generation where he sees a saita, so then he has to go to an extreme a little bit. So then we recommend, haray saita bikil kula yazarats menayan, you have to go to an extreme. We live in a generation, it's not haray saita, one saita. Every day, the 100 saitas. You look in the newspaper every day. The President of the United States and the Vice President and all the Gaboyim and all the senators and all the congressmen. Everyone is involved with saita, with Heshishish and everything. So you live in a generation where you have to lead an extreme life. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Deis, comments on the mitzvah of Halachta Bidrochav, that's a pasuk in Parshas Kisavai, middle of the Brochas, the Klol is there. So the pasuk says, Halachta Bidrochav. So the Rambam says, what are the Darchei Hashem? How do you know how to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam says to go B'derech HaMamutza, Bishvil HaZov. You should go, you shouldn't be extreme in one direction or the other. You should always go the middle of the road. The pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avraham Avinu ki daitiv l'manu she'etzav ezbanav ezbeis ha'achrav l'leches b'derech Hashem. I love Avraham Avinu because he instructs his children, he's mechanach them, they should go b'derech Hashem. That's why Allah the b'drochav. So what is Derech Hashem? The Derech HaMemutza. That's how the Rambam speaks. So Shaddal was a Jewish philosopher who lived in Italy a while ago, 200 years ago. So he was Orthodox to a certain extent. So he complains against the Rambam. Why did the Rambam quote chunks of Aristotle and put it into the Mishneh Torah? This idea not to be this extreme, that extreme, to go but Derech HaMemutza, the Shvil Azov, this comes straight from Aristotle. See, as a Taina, the Rambam, if you like Aristotle, so put it in the book on ethics, but don't put it in the Mishneh Torah. He has this Taina. So the Maritz Chayis writes a defense on the Rambam from Shadal's Taina. So he says the Rambam got this straight from the Gemara. He uses the language of Aristotle, but he got the idea from the Gemara. The Gemara says, one who is mekabel naziris, hanazir is nikra chayte, because he's supposed to enjoy olam hazeh. You shouldn't be an ascetic. You shouldn't take nedarim not to get hanazir olam hazeh, not to drink wine. But haroyis sota bikalkula, if you live in a generation where things are mekulkal, then yazaratz b'menayan, then you have to go to an extreme. So this is exactly what the Chazal are interpreting in the psukim. You should always go b'derech hamemutza, unless you live in a generation where there's a tremendous kilkal in a certain area, then you have to go to an extreme. So that's what Aristotle said, is what the Chazal said, based on the pasuk over here, based on the psukim. The Rambam in the Mishneh Torah has this long arichas about going b'derech hamemutza, beginning of Hilchas Deis. And then he says there's one exception to the rule. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, I think the second perek, miyod miyod, Rabbi Levitis ish yavna oimer, miyod miyod hevish fal ruach. A person should be extremely, extremely humble. So the Rambam writes there in the Pirush HaMishnah, it's a long piece, and he repeats it in the Mishneh Torah, that unlike all the other midas that you recommend, the person should go b'derech hamemutza, here when it comes to gaiva, humility versus arrogance, you shouldn't go b'derech hamemutza. B'derech hamemutza would be anivus, the Rambam writes. So the Mishnah says, don't be an anav, you have to be shuffle. Shuffle means to the extreme. Miod miod hevishval ruach. A person should not go b'derech hamemutza, he should go to the extreme. So this is a big shaila. Why is gaiva different from the other midas? So the Chayei Odom has a little sefer that's called Zichre Teres Moshe. It has all of Hilchas Shabbos there. He had a son, Moshe, who died as a teenager. He died on Purim. And the Chayei Odom complains that the Chevra Kadisha in Vilna didn't observe the dinim properly. See, he has a whole complaint in the end of the Chochmas Adam. He has a whole section that's called Matzeves Moshe, a memorial to his son Moshe, and he complains what they did wrong on Purim, and he has a few tshuvas halacha l'maisa there in Hilchas Avelus, has a couple of kulas that people use, and he has this that Matzeves Moshe is a memorial to his son, and the Zichur Teres Moshe, he writes also a memorial to his son Moshe who died as a teenager. So in the Hakdama, he wrote a Hakdama to the Zichur Teres Moshe, has nothing to do with Hilchus Shabbos. The Hakdama is about Judaism in general. He recommends everyone should read the Hakdama Aseres Mei Tshuva time. Nice. So in his Hakdama, he talks about this. Why did the Rambam, How did the Rambam read the Mishnah that with respect to all the other midas he got b'derech hamamutz except for gaiva? So he understood that the Rambam learned that this was a din deraisa, and he says the reason why is because when you look in Tanakh, it says v'halachta b'drachov. How do you know what a darchei Hashem? So the Rambam writes both in the Mishnah Torah and in the Mor Nevuchim. The Nevi'im all describe the way the Rabbanu Shel Olam runs the world in order to teach us what are Darchei Hashem. So the way to know V'halachta B'drachav, you have to learn Tanakh to see how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu act. So the Tanakh describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as doing contradictory things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy and he's sad. He's all different moods. So how can you go V'halachta B'drachav? So if you go B'derech HaMamutza, so you're doing both at the same time. And in Tanakh, it never describes the Rabbanu Shel Olam as being arrogant. The Rabbanu Shel Olam is always described Chomakum Shatamotzi Gdelosu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shamatamotzi Amusanusoi. Never describes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being arrogant. So therefore, when it comes to this mid of Shiflus, you have to be Miod Miod Hevish Val Ruach because of the mitzvah of Halachta B'drach Hu. So the Chayyadim assumes that it's a real Din Deraisa that the Rambam is saying. Ayit says Asher El Hashem Ki Go'oi Go'o. Kadosh Baruch Hu displayed his haughtiness. So he says, no, look in the Targum Unkelus on the Pasuk, Ashir al Hashem, ki go'oi go'o, the Targum translates, Arei is go'i, al gave sonaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu deflated the egos of the arrogant people. Doesn't mean that he demonstrated arrogance. He knocked down the other arrogant people. So then the Chayyadim says, just like the Targum Unkelus translated, ki go'i go'o, his goyah gave sanai, does mean that he himself acted in an arrogant fashion. The same is true regarding Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. Every so often you have in Tilim such an expression. You have to interpret all those psukim also like that. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated gaiva. It means that he deflated the ego of the arrogant people. So that's what the Chayyadim claim. Since the Tanakh never describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as acting in an arrogant fashion, so the way to fulfill V'halachta B'drachav is to go to an extreme. Chomokim Shatamotzi Gdolosu Shakarish Baruch Hu Shamatamotzi Amasunus. Other midas, you have the Tanakh describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu in contradictory terms, doing this and doing that. So the way to be Mekayim both is to go B'derech HaMamutza. With respect to Gaiva, never describes Gaiva, so it's only Meod Meod Hevish Val Ruach. Yer Sameach does not agree. Yer Sameach quotes the Lech HaMishneh on Hilchas Deis. Lech HaMishneh has a kasha, there's a contradiction between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis in Hilchas Deis. In Perek Aleph, the Rambam develops the whole theme. You have to go B'derech HaMamutza. So he gives you Mesholim. So he says some people are so stingy they never spend a penny. Other people, they spend all the money, they don't save anything. So you have to go B'derech HaMamutza. Some people are always giggling and laughing and joking. They're never serious. Other people are dead serious. Always serious. He says, you have to go B'derech HaMamutz. Then he gives another mashal. Some people are very arrogant. Some people treat mama shuffle. So the Rambam says, you have to go B'derech HaMamutz. You have to be humble in the middle. Not to be shuffle. Not to be a bagaiva. You have to be in the middle. So the Rambam in Perek Aleph writes, you go B'derech HaMamutz by gaiva also. Then when comes Perek Beis, the Rambam comes up with this mishnah, Meod Meod Hevish Val Ruach. You should not go B'derech HaMamutza. So the Lech HaMishneh says, it's a steer between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. What happened over here? What changed? So the Asameach writes two lines. He says, look in the Pirush HaMishnayis, on Pirkei Avos, where the Rambam himself explains that this is a din menatar and this is a din medirabbanan. Miod miod hevish val ruach is not like the Chayyadim understood, that it's a din deraisa, that the Tanakh never describes the Rabbanu Shel Olam as acting with gaiven. No, it's a gzera derabbanan. Menatoro, what the Rambam wrote in Perek Aleph is correct. You have to go B'derech HaMamutza when it comes to Gaiva and Anivis as well. It's a din midirabbanan because a gzera, because most people will guess wrong. You have to guess from a scale of 1 to 10. Where's the middle? Where's 5? So most people will guess on the wrong side. Everyone will think that they're very humble and they're very far. They think they're all machmer and humility. And everybody, so the Tanoim say, you're always going to guess wrong. You better go lechumra, go miod, miod. So that's a gzera derabban. That's what the Yosamech writes. He just writes two lines. He writes, look in the Lech HaMishneh, he has a stira, and look in the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam writes beferish that Perek Beis is a gzera derabban. It's not a din deraisa. It's very surprising. The Chayyadim wrote as if that Mishnah would have been a din deraisa. when the pasuk describes the whole parsha Soita, so it says ve'ed ein bo. So the Mishnah has the famous din. After kinu yistira, we know the husband, two edim testify, the husband warned his wife, altistri and mishplani. And two edim testify that she was nisyachda, she was nistira, and then if there's an ed echod who says that she was mizana, so then the ed echod is believed. Normally, ed echod is not believed because it's a dovisha b'yerva, to say that an eshesish was zinsa, that she has to get divorced, asur al-baila. But following kinu yistira, since it's raglaim al-davar, so the Edechot would be believed. It wouldn't be believed to give her Einish Misa. It would be believed to Asar Abayla, to stop the Hashkoas HaSoita, to Asar Abayla. So that's why how the first Mishnah in Soita has a Machlekes HaTaraim, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua, and we usually pass like Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Eliezer Shamutihu. The Gemara says Rebbe Eliezer was from the Beis Shammai. So we usually do not pass like him when he disagrees with Rebbe Yeshua. Ruba de Ruba, we don't pass like Rebbe Eliezer. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was a super genius, but he was too much of a genius, so he followed Beis Shammai, so we usually don't follow his opinion. More has a couple of places we paskin like Reb Lezer. So we paskin the Eid Ein Bo, Eid Echod is believed on Tumah, on Znus, following Kino Yistir, because of Raglaim Ledover. But on the Kino itself and on the Stir itself, for that you need two Eidim. That's how we paskin like Reb Yeshua. So the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva, a famous tshuva. What's the status of the two edim that are needed for the kinoy and two edim that are needed for the stira? Is that edis lekiyam hadavar or is that edis lebir hadavar? Let's say when a woman gets married, so the Gemara says you have to have edim watching, giving over the ring. If no one watched, if a man is mekadesh and isha beno le beno, then it's edim mekudeshes. The halacha says you have to have edis lekiyam hadavar. The Beis HaLevi didn't yet have that terminology. That terminology was coined by Rav Chaim, by his son. So Beis HaLevi has to spend a whole paragraph every time he wants to say Lekiyam HaDavar, it takes him three sentences. It says Lebir HaDavar, it takes him three sentences. We already use Rav Chaim's language, Lekiyam HaDavar, Lebir HaDavar, right? So we speak much faster. So that's the tshuva that he discusses. What's the nature? So he wants to come up with this fantastic chiddush that the edim, two edim that are needed on the kinui, that's Lekiyam HaDavar. That if the husband warns his wife altistri and mishplani, and there are no edim watching, then it's not so serious a hasra. The hasra becomes more serious when he warns his wife in the presence of two kosher edim. It's a stronger kinui. But the stira is like if a woman is mezana, so the need for the two edim is only lebir hadavar. That's not lekiyam hadavar. So the two edim that are needed for the stira, that's lebir hadavar. But the two edim that are needed for the kinui, that's lekiyam hadavar, not just lebir hadavar. So based on this, he adopts the hagoyah of the Shagas Aryeh. There is a passage in the Yerushalmi. A lot of times Yerushalmis have more mistakes than Bablis, because we haven't, for many generations, people were not learning Yerushalmis. So every so often there's a Yerushalmi that's fakert, that's tzedreit. So there, the Yerushalmi discusses what's the din of Eidus Miecheres by Kiddushin. Let's say a man gives a ring to a girl at 10 o'clock in the morning, says, Hari at Mekudeshes Li, and there's only one Eid watching. So the Gemara says, Mikra din, if he Mekadesh Anish in the presence of Eid Echod, there's no Kiddushin. So the same man and the same girl takes another ring, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, gives another ring, and he says, Hari Mekudeshes Li, in the presence of another Eid Echod. So Eidus Lekiyam HaDavar. So is that good? Is that chazeh? If I borrow $100 from you in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, then I borrow another $100 from you, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's one Eid watching in the morning, one Eid watching in the afternoon, and I say, I lent you $200, I wanted $200. And you deny everything, and I have an Eid Echod from the morning and Eid Echod from the afternoon. So that's Eidus Miecheres is good indeed in Mammonis. So I'll collect $100. I have two Eidim to say, you owe me $100. So that's Eidus Lebir HaDavar, Eidus Miecheres is good. The question is Eidus Miecheres good, Lekiyam HaDavar or not? So the Yerushalmi discusses it. If the man was Mekadosh and Isha, Shachris Bifnei Eid Echod, and Arvis Lifnei Eid Echod. Then the Yerushalmi discusses also, let's say, an Eishes Ish is Mezana, So you have to have two Edim to testify that the woman was Mizana. You don't ask her an Ishal Baila based on Eid Echad, it's a Dovish of the Erva. So what if the woman was Mizana Bifnei Eid Echad on one day, and then she was Mizana a different day Bifnei Eid Echad? So are you able to, is Eidis Mi'ched is good or not? So one Yerushalmi says it's good, and one Yerushalmi says it's no good. So the Vilna Goin quotes this Yerushalmi in the Bir Agra and Ebenezer, and he says the two Yerushalmis is a machlekes one after the other. Two Yerushalmis is a machlekes hatanan whether Eidis Mi'chedis is acceptable by Dini Mominus or not. If it's good by Mominus, then it's good for Dovish of the Ervo. It's no good because you learn how Dova Dova Mi Momin. How do you know that you need two Eidim for Dovish of the Ervo? Because it says Kimotza Bo Ervo's Dover. It says Al Pishna Shnei Eidim Al Shlosh Eidim Yochum Dover. So you learn out the requirement for Shnei Eidim by Dovish of the Ervo. You learn that from Mominus. Mominus is a machlekes hatanayim, whether Eidis Mi'chedis is good. So the two Yerushalmis, the two Brises in the Yerushalmi, one after the other, back to back, it's a machlekes hatanayim, whether Eidis Mi'chedis is good in Mominus. It's good in Mominus, it's good in Dovish of the Ervo. We paskin it is good in Mominus, it's good in Dovish of the Ervo. That's what the Vilna Goin says. Shagazari says no. Shagazari has a tshuva. In the end of the tshuva, Shagazari, they have two tshuvas that they took from other svarim that were written by the Shagazari. So one of them is about a soita asura bailo. So the Shagazari in the tshuva, in the Beis Halev, he quotes that. So the Shagazari in the tshuva thinks that the Yerushalmi is not representing a machlekes satanai. The Yerushalmi is saying that Eidis Mi'chedes by Kiddushin would be no good, and by Zinsa, Eishes Ishe Zinsa would be good. Because the Eidim that are needed by Kiddushin is Eidis Lekiyim Adover. So if he's Mekadosh the Isha Shachris Bifnei Eid Echad is zero. That is Mekadosh Arvis Lifnei Eid Echad is zero. So zero and zero is zero. There's no Eidis Lekiyim Adover. Eidis Lekiyim Adover you have to have Bevasachas. Mashenikin, if she was Zitza, the Eidis that are needed by Znus is only Eidis Lebir Adover. So you have, she was Zitza one day Bifnei Eid Echad, so you have a half a Birosh. Zitza the next day Bifnei Eid Echad. You have a full beer. You have two Eidim. That's what the tshuva in the Shagasarye, he thinks that you should be magia. The Yerushalmi that it should read like that. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. According to that Shagasarye, the rest of the Yerushalmi reads well also. That the Yerushalmi distinguishes between the two Eidim that are needed for kinui and the two Eidim that are needed for stira. The two Eidim for kinui is Eidis Lekiyim Adover. It's a more serious Hasra, if the husband is Masra, the wife, in the presence of the two Eidim. But the Stira, the two Eidim that are needed for the Stira, is only Eidis Lebira Dover. So that Eidis Mi'chedis would have been good.
How about Gittin?
Yeah, we assume Gittin, most of the Rishonim assume Gittin need Eidis Lekiyim
Adover. Because I think in Mishav, so the Rif says in Mishav, so that the Beishmu has a Kuflam Egim Lavanezer. That one aid on two aid is mecheres make it would work. One shachar is make it would work.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it should be the same.
Should be the same. Some Rishonim say that Gittin, the Rashba says that Gittin don't need Eidis Lekiyim Adover. We usually assume it does need Eidis Lekiyim Adover. We usually assume that it does need. So if they quote the Rif quotes the Rishami, the Eidis mecheres is good by get. Means that it's good even by Eidis Lekiyim Adover. That's the part, like the Vilna Goin held, not like the Shagasari is Yerushalmi. Yeah. Kinyan Chalipin is a Machlokes and Rishonim, yeah, whether they need Eidis Lekiyim Adover or not. Yeah.
If one assumes that
Eidim
by Stira is only Eidis Lebir Adover,
mm-hmm.
So
So we pass on like Rabbi Yeshua that you need mikana la bifnishnaim. And the kinui and the stira have to be bifnei shnayim, but the Beis Halevi distinguishes. He thinks that the kinui bifnei shnayim is eidus lekiyim adover, and the stira bifnei shnayim that's only lebir adover.
And those times you say that kinui can also be in front of any echad, that's because they're also assuming that the kinui adover can be in it.
You don't need lekiyim adover. There's no need for eidus lekiyim adover. They disagree on the whole assumption.
So then they. say that you need, there's some Tanaim, I think you say you need one eid kimadaver, I'm sorry, one eid for kino and two eid for steer.
Right.
So you need eid as the kimadaver for steer only?
No, not the kimadaver, the bira dover.
So why do you need one eid for bira dover for...
Based on psukim, so how do you read the psukim? How much biradova do you need? It's all based on how you darshan the eid ein bo. How do you darshan the psukim? The Mishnah in Maseches Soito, there's a perek in Soito that starts off Ela Nemorim. So there are certain mitzvahs that have to do with reciting psukim or reciting tefillas. And some of them can be fulfilled in translation, and others have to be only fulfilled in the original. For example, in Parshas Nasa, you have about the Nisias Kapayim, you have the mitzvah of Duchening. So the Mishnah says that Duchening has to be Dafke Beloshna Kodesh. You can't, if the Kohen doesn't know how to speak Hebrew, he can't be Yotze the mitzvah by saying in translation. The Nazir can be Mekabel Naziris in any language. Any language is acceptable. The question is, what's considered any language? Let's say you have five students in the class made up their own language, their own private language. That's considered a language. Or you have to have a city. How large a population do you have to have? Let's say there was a language that years ago, 1,000 years ago, many cities spoke the language. Now only professors know the language. No one alive today speaks that language. That's a shot. Is that considered a language? So in the shiurim that they have from Avelba Lesolovechik, Amasechas Noza, that's the first paragraph that he raises the question, how many living people have to speak the language today that it should be recognized as a language? There's a commentary printed in the back of the Vilna Shas on Nozir, that's called Orach Mishor, by one of the big Achrayim. So the first, on the opening Mishnah, he quotes from the Yerushalmi that if a person says in advance, when I say yes, I mean no, when I say apples, I mean Nozir, when I say this, I mean, he makes up his own language. And then he says, I hereby take a shvua. When I say shvua, I mean neder. He says, I take a shvua to become an apple. And based on his language, that means I just took a neder to become a nazir. So the Rishami says it. That's good. That's called the language. No one speaks the language. He made up his own language. Nobody speaks the language. So that's a chiddush. So that's a shaila. What constitutes a language? Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius had lived at the beginning of the Reform movement. Rabbi Kivega, the Chassam Sofer, they all lived at the beginning of the Reform movement. So the Reform, one of the first things they did was that they changed the davening to German. Reform began in Germany. So they said no one understands Hebrew and they don't appreciate the davening. So the din is that you can daven if you daven mitzibur, if you daven b'yichidus. So if you're going to daven in the vernacular, so the Gemara says the Malachim may not want to present the prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You better daven in Hebrew. But if you daven mitzibur, Henkel Kabir Lo Yemas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Moyes B'Tfilos HaRabim. So even if you daven in the vernacular, it's okay. You don't need the Malachim to present the prayers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The prayers go directly. So they changed the tefillah. They started davening in German. So many Gedolim were very opposed. They didn't consult any Gedolim about this change because they said it says in Shulchan Aruch that when you daven mitzibah, you can daven in any language you want. So the Gedolim were very opposed to that. They gave different reasons why. So Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, who happened to be a businessman, he was one of the major poskim in his generation, even though he was not a rabbi of his community. The rabbi in Brod, he lived in Brod at that. The rabbi in Brod is the one who wrote the Lev Aryeh Chulin. He was not as famous as his Balabas. The Balabas, the businessman, was very successful in business, wealthy businessman, and he wrote major tshuvas, the Beis Ephraim tshuvas. So he has a whole tshuva, not in the Beis Ephraim, he has a whole tshuva opposed to the davening in the vernacular. And he comes up with a fantastic chiddush, which we have not accepted. He thinks that the halacha only recognizes shivim loshon. At the time of Migdal Bavel, Shom Balal Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'aretz, there were 70 languages, and that's it. And who knows whether the German language that they spoke in the late 1700s, early 1800s, he says it's probably not one of the shivim loshon, probably a corruption, probably a combination of one language and another language. He says, the halacha only recognizes Lashon HaKodesh and the Shivim Lashon that existed in the days of Migdal Bavel. Yeah, if you say like that, so you can't be Yotze Kriya Shema in English? You can't daven in English? English certainly didn't exist in the days of Migdal Bavel. For sure it's not one of the 70 languages.
Who says that our Lashon HaKodesh is the same?
Yeah. That's what the Satmar Rebbe Tainis. He says the modern Hebrew is not Loshna Kodesh, that they changed it so much. And that's a question. Every language develops. Every language develops. You look through Tanakh, you see the way the Hebrew develops from generation to generation. You look in the Mishnais, it's already a different Hebrew. The Mishnais is a Mishnaic Hebrew. It's not Biblical Hebrew. And Biblical Hebrew keeps on changing also. So that's a Groysa Chiddush. The Pashtus is not like Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. So Neder Naziris can be in any language. That's not a problem. That's not an issue. But the Duchening has to be Dafke Beloshna Kodesh. And the Shvuas HaSoita, the Gemara learns out, has to be, as it says in the Chumash, verbatim. But if you say it in translation, is also good. The woman has to be able to understand it. So that's, the Gemara says, when the woman takes the Shvuas HaSoita, so she has to pronounce the Shem HaMfoirosh. She has to pronounce the Shem Hashem as it appears in the Sefer Torah. Iten Hashem Moisach Li'olah V'Lishvuah. So she pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsavoy. So the question, the Rashba and the Tshuva raises the question. The Sefer Afikayam quotes the Tshuva Sarashba. Why do you have to pronounce, since you can say the whole thing in translation, so why do you have to pronounce the Shem Hashem Kichsavoy? Say it in translation. So that's the Rashba raises the issue, and it's unclear what the answer is. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the name of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that a proper noun doesn't lend itself to translation. Let's say Netanyahu. His name is Netanyahu. He can't say it in English. There's no other way. Let's say Moshe. So you say Moses. Moses. It's not a translation. There is no translation to a name. The name is Moshe. Let's say
Egypt.
Egypt is not a translation. The word is Mitzrayim. Whenever you have a proper noun, it doesn't lend itself to translation. So Moshe Soloveitchik said, if you want to daven in translation, or you want to say Kriya Shema in translation, you can translate Shema, you can't say Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Echad is a word that you can translate. Yisrael is a word. You can't say Hear, O Israel, you have to say hear or understand, whatever. However you're going to translate Shema, then you have to say Yisrael. Yisrael is a proper noun. Then you have to say Hashem. Then you have to say Elokeinu. Then you have to say Hashem. You can't say the Lord our God, the Lord is. Those are proper nouns. That those don't lend themselves to translation. People have tainus against the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll gives you the whole Kriya Shema translation. And they should have said that these words can't be translated. They should have put Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Elokeinu. They should have put it in. A proper noun can't be translated. That's what Moshe Soloveitchik thought is what the Rashba and the Tshuva was driving at, that despite the fact that the Shvuas HaSoita can be recited in translation, it has to be a literal translation, but the Shem Hashem has to be the Shem HaMfarish. Yiten Hashem Moisach Li'olah V'Lishvuah. She's saying the Shvuah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says when you pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kein Godel on Yom Kippur, has to pronounce it. If a Kohen is taking a sip of Coca-Cola in the Beis HaMikdash and he says Shehakol, he doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsavah. The saying Shehakol on the Coca-Cola is not a kiyum in the Beis HaMikdash. But when you have the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, says On Hashem Chatos Avisa Pashati, he pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei Kichsavah, because it has to be said in the Beis HaMikdash. Same thing here. Shvuas HaSoita has to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So since it has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, the correct pronunciation for Yud Kei Vav Kei is Kichsavah. That's how it seems in the Gemara. Also, doesn't lend itself to translation. They don't lend itself to translation.
Elohim is not by itself a proper noun. It's a combination of the...
That's a question. Can you say our Elohim? Or do you have to say Elokeinu? So the Vilna Goen on Yerideya, in the third Chelik Yerideya Hilchas Sefer Torah, so they discuss the Zayin Shem Shein and Mechokim. The Gemara has a concept. There are seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are proper names that you're not allowed to erase. So Shakai, Kel, Alekim, Tzvokos, and so on. Eke, Asher Eke. So the question is, how did you calculate seven? So the Rambam says, the Vilna Gaon says, Elekim is one, and Elokeinu is another one. He says, Elokeinu is not our Elokim. Somehow. I don't know. He gives some kind of a philosophical, Kabbalistic explanation in the Bir Agro, that these are two different shemas. The other shemas don't have a possessive. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. There's no way to say my Aleph Dalet, my Shakai, my Tzvakos. But Elokah and Elokai, or Elokim and Elokeinu, there is a possessive. So the Vilna Gaon counts that as a separate shame, as if it's not Elokim Shalanu. That is what the shame is. Elokeinu is the full shame Hashem. You got to figure out what that means. I don't know. That's the question. When one recites Kriya Shema, can he say our Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, our Elokim? Or you have to say Elokeinu? It's a Shaila LaHalacha. There's the Rabbinical Council of America has a committee who is working on a siddur for the last 15 years, and I don't think they put it out yet. So this is one of the things that they were pilpiling about. How are they going to write Elokeinu for the first pasuk in Kriya Shema? So we got to hold our breath to see what they decided. Okay. The Gemara says when you write the Parsha Soita, the woman takes the Shavuos HaSoita, then a kohen has to write on a piece of parchment, then you erase it in the Mayim Amorim. The ink is not poisonous. It doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. So it's a miracle that she's going to die from drinking the Mayim Amorim. So the Gemara says you cannot use ink that's indelible ink. If you're going to use ink that doesn't erase it, you can't erase it. You have to be able to erase it. What about when you write a Sefer Torah? Are you allowed to write an indelible ink? Why not? What's the issue? So the Gemara says in Erevin, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, a get has to be written l'shmo. What about Megillah Soita? So there's a whole discussion in the Tanoim. Does a Megillah Soita have to be written l'shmo? Let's say there are two different Soitas in the Beis HaMikdash. So one of them took the Shavuos HaSoita, and the Parsha is exactly the same, verbatim. Exact word for word, the exact same Parsha Soita. So we wrote, this one took the Shavuos HaSoita, the other one took the Shavuos HaSoita. Then the Kohen wrote a Parsha of her and Parsha of her, and we forgot which Parsha was written for Rachel, which Parsha was written for Leah. So is that acceptable? Or do you have to have dafka the Parsha that was written for her specifically? So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim. So one Tana is of the opinion, Moichkin lo ben HaTorah, you don't even have to have that the Parsha was written L'shem Shvua Soita. If the Soita took a Shvua and someone else wrote a Sefer Torah afterwards, you can take the Sefer Torah that the Sefer wrote L'shem Sefer Torah. He didn't even write a L'shem Parsha Soita at all. He wrote a L'shem Sefer Torah and Moichkin lo ben HaTorah. You can cut out this paragraph and use it to erase. So the Gemara says, we hold not so. We hold that Parsha Soita has to be written L'shem. So the Gemara says, according to that Tana who holds Moichkin lo ben HaTorah, so the Gemara adds on, whenever you write a Sefer Torah, you cannot write Parsha Soita using kankantom. You're not allowed to put in the chemical that'll make it indelible. Why? Because you have to be able to erase the Parsha Soita from the Sefer Torah. It's not going to happen in a million years. Which crazy idiot, which meshugah is going to cut out the Shavuos HaSoita from the Sefer Torah and want to use it? So why does the Gemara say that if you hold Moichkin lo ben HaTorah, you're not allowed to be matal kankantam in the Parsha Soita Sheb Sefer Torah? Why is that? So I remember someone showed Rav Soloveitchik a tshuva saritvo. The Ritvo writes in a tshuva that the din is a Sefer Torah does not have to be written kichzov, it doesn't have to be written in order. Bereish is bar l'kim, you don't have to write the first letter first and the next letter next. If you see a mistake in a Sefer Torah, you just correct it. Aye, but it wasn't written kisidra. So kisidra is only a requirement in tefillin and mezuzah. The mechilta has like that. The Gemara doesn't even say by tefillin and mezuzah. So mechilta has like that. The tefillin and mezuzah have to be written kisidra. So if you find a mistake in the middle of the parsha of the tefillin, in the middle of the parsha of the mezuzah, you cannot correct it because you'll have to correct everything from there to the end. So the Ritva writes a chiddush that the dalet parshios kadesh v'yakiviach shema v'hayom shemaya and the sefer Torah have to be written kisidra, even though you don't plan to use the sefer Torah for tefillin. So what kind of a din is that? Rav Soloveitchik said the Ritva got it from this gemara. You see, from this gemara, if the din is that moichkin lo min haTorah, then Parsha Soita Sheb Sefer Torah is called Parsha Soita. And Parsha Soita, you may not use kankantom. You may not write an indelible ink. It has to be Roy Lehimachik. So the saying, the Ritva understood, the Dalet Parsha Sheb Tfilin, when they appear in the Sefer Torah, they're considered Parsha's Tfilin. They're considered Parsha's Mezuzah, Parsha's Tfilin. The din is, not that the din is that Tfilin have to be written Kisidron. Parshas HaTfilin has to be written Kesidron. So even the Dalet Parshas is Kadesh VeYakiviyachol Shema VaHayam Shema. When they appear in the Sefer Torah, they're also called Parshas Tfilin. Parshas Tfilin has to be written Kesidron. So he said the mocker of that Ritva is this Gemara that if Moichkin Lo Min HaTorah, then the Parshas Soita should be Sefer Torah. He may not use Kankanto. The whole thing, the whole Gemara is a Chiddush. The whole Gemara is a Chiddush. Ritva is a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush. Fantastic Chiddush. The Gemara has a suffix. If the Soita drinks the Maim Hamorim through a straw, are you Yotze the Seder Hashkoas HaSoita, or do you require that she has to drink it directly? So the Gemara has a suffix with a Derech Shtia Bekach, a Rein Derech Shtia Bekach. The Gemara has such a suffix. So in Europe, apparently, they used to go to the natural springs to drink mineral water. Apparently it was healthy. So that's the only time that they used to drink through a straw. So they declared a suffix, if it's derech shtir bekach through a straw or not, maybe you don't say shahakol. So some of the gedolim in Europe wrote in their svarim, you should first take a sip directly, and then say a brocha, and then drink the rest through the straw. That's what the man of the rabbanim in America. In America, everybody drinks through a straw. Soda, everybody drinks through a straw. So some of the old-time rabbanim from 60, 70 years ago, that's what he said. Whenever you want to drink through a straw, first drink a little bit directly, say the bracha, and then you drink the rest through a straw. The Pashta says that it's very difficult. The suffix in the Gemara is whether this is derech shtia bekach, because hashkoas hasoita has to be kederech shtia. What's the din if a person eats food? Shalok kederech achilosai. The din is you don't say a bracha? No. The din is whatever the bracha should have been, it's knocked down to shahakal. So water is going to be, the soda is going to be shahakal anyway. Less than shahakal is not going to be. So even if you hold that drinking through a straw, it's shaloi kederech shtia, but shahakal sof kol sof, it is going to remain shahakal. So the Pashta says that the whole thing is a joke. But many gedolim wrote in the Sfarim, they wrote in Europe, and the tshuva is like that.
Like an orange rind is considered not popular enough to be, at what point do you consider something popular enough so that it actually becomes bracha that it's supposed to be?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a good question. What percentage of the population has to enjoy it that way that it should be considered kederach achila? I don't know. It's a good question. The Gemara has a din where you make a tanai kofel. Whenever you make a tanai, you have to have a tanai kofel. So you have to have hen kodem lalav.
Mechila, we have
bakasha
and 15 tamirin.
I apologize that I wasn't able to talk to you in learning. I'm not up to it today. Very good. Very good. Okay. So the Gemara has a cloud. Whenever you make a tanai, you need a tanai kofel, and you have to have hen kodem lalav. So what does it mean, hen kodem lalav? So let's say the man is about to die. So he says, so he has no children, and he's going to die. His wife is going to need chalitza. So he wants to give her a get, that she shouldn't require chalitza. But in case he doesn't die, he doesn't want to give her a get. So he gives her a get, and he says, in the event that I die, if I die within the next week, I raise a get mechmeachshav. He can't give a get lachamisa. If I die within the next week from this sickness, the get should be chal right now, and you shouldn't need chalitza. And if I don't die, get shenah pichal. So the Gemara says that that's called hen kodem lalav. So the Gemara tells when they used to get, that's called the get shchid meira. A man is sick and he wants to give his wife a get that she shouldn't be zukuka liyovim. She shouldn't need any chalitza. So the Gemara says the nusach that they used to say would be lemagdim inish puranusa the nafsha. The guy doesn't want to start off by saying if I die. So first he says if I survive, if I pull through, the get should not be chal. He wants to start off on a happy note. And then he says, and if I die, the get should be chal me'achshav. And then he says the third time, and if I don't die, the get should not be chal. Why do you have to say three times? So the first time you say, if I survive, the get should not be chal. You don't want to start off on a bad note. But the next two times, that's the hen kodem lalav. You have to say, in the event that I die from the sickness, the get should be chal. Now that's the hen. If I don't die, the get should not be chal. That's the love. So here it says in the Psukim, the Gemara and Kiddushin points that. Here you have Hen Kodem Lalav. He says, He says to the wife, the koyin, is biya hakoyinus of isha. Im lo shachav isha isach. If you're innocent, he naki, nothing should happen. Dat ki sotis, and if you're guilty, then you should die in misa mishuna by drinking the mayim amorim al pi nes. So Tosfos has the kasha, but it's lav koyinim lahen. He says, if you're innocent, nothing should happen. So nothing should happen is lav. Don't you have to have hem koyinim lahav? So there's a little Tosfos in Kiddushin, and some of Beis also. Tosfos has the kasha. So Tosfos gives the answer, the one that you want to happen, the way that you hope it's going to happen, that's called the hen. The way that you don't want it to happen, that's called the lav. So the koyin is hoping and praying that the woman will be innocent. So he says, "Im lo shachav ishoy sachin aki." You should be. If you're innocent, nothing should happen. That's called the hen, because that's the tzad that he hopes will happen. Well, hopes will come true. So the Taz in his Hagdamah to Yeridaya asks, quotes the Tosfos, and he says it's in contradiction to the Gemara and the end of Gittin, when the man is giving a get, the man is on his deathbed. He hopes that he's going to survive. He doesn't want to die. So the tzad that he hopes is going to become true is, I hope I survive and the get will not be chal. And in the event that I die, I want the get to be chal me'achshav. So if Tosfos says in Kiddushin that the tzad that you hope is going to happen is called the hen, not the get taking effect is the hen. The tzad that you want to happen is called the hen. So when the man is about to die, he hopes he's not going to die. So that should be the hen. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, first you say, if I survive, the get should be nothing. That's le'magdaminish peranusa le'nafsha. That's not called the hen. Then you have to say, and if I die, the get should be chal me'achshav, that's the hen. And then he says a third time, if I don't die, then the get should not be chal, that's the lav. So the Taz is that kasha in the Hagdama to his chibur and Yeridei. So in his Sefer HaChumash, in the Divrei David, on this week's Sedra, he writes that the printers did him a disservice, that the printers couldn't fit in the whole Hagdama on the page, so they left out a few paragraphs. So he complains that he gave the teretz on the kasha, and he writes over the teretz. It's a shvera teretz. The pashtus of teretz is as follows. By the soito, in either direction something is going to happen. If she's innocent, so it says, v'nitza v'nizra zara. If she never had children, she will have children. If she had difficulty delivering the children, now she'll have children with ease. There won't be any tzar chevle leida. Something is going to change. Whether she's innocent or guilty, something is going to happen. So they're both hen. If she's innocent, it's going to be hen, and if she's guilty, it's going to be hen. So which is the hen, which is the lav? So then Tosfos says, since something is going to take effect, there's going to be a halois one way or the other. It's going to be a halois. So the one that you hope is going to come true is labeled as the hen. But by the man giving a get shechemirah to his wife, he says, if I survive the sickness, if I don't die within a week, the get should not be chal. So it's nothing. So that's a lav. He can't say because that's the tzad that he hopes is going to happen. That's going to be the hen. No, it's only you only follow that Tosfos, the one that you hope is going to happen. If either direction, something is going to be chal, something is going to take place. Like by the soito, if she's innocent, for nix of an Israel zara, a miracle will happen, and she'll have children, and she'll have children. If hoisi yoled is shcharim, yoled is levanim, hoisi yoled is bitzar, yoled is berevach, something is going to change one way or the other. So the way you want it to change, that's called the hen. But if at one side nothing is going to change, then of course that tzad is considered the lav. The Mishnah points out the next parsha, Parshas Nozah. The Mishnah points out Shloshim Minim Asurim LeNozah. There are three prohibitions: Yain Tumah and Tiglachas, the three dinim of a Nozah.
Does a person in a tzad couple let them into Tiglachas?
No. There are certain cases where you don't need Mishpat Tanoim. The Ramban talks about it. That's for sure one of the cases. You don't need Tanoim there. No.
Is that a good
Tanoim? We assume it is a good Tanoim. It's a good question. Why? We assume it is a good Tanoim. Yeah. So the Mishnah, Shloshe Minim Asurim LeNozah, Yain Tumah and Tiglachas. These are the three prohibitions. And the Gemara, in the beginning of Nazir, at the very beginning of Nazir, makes a statement regarding the Nazir, is he allowed to drink Yain, Kiddush, v'Havdova? So the earlier Rishonim all said, or they all read the Gemara b'Nichusa, that Yain, Kiddush, v'Yain, Havdola was never Asur for the Nazir. That's Mushba v'Yomim HaSinai, he's Mukhiv to say Kiddush ala Yain, and Avdolah Alayayin, and that wine was never included in the prohibition. And then Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natam, no, Loshen Nozer Meshuna, the one who edited Maseches Nozer, the different Masechtas were edited by different committees. And the days of Ravina Ravashi, they didn't edit everything. Tmura is very different from the other Masechtas. And the Dorim and Nozer are both different. So Tosfos has that Loshen. Loshen Nozer Meshuna. And when the Gemara says about Yen Kiddush Abdullah, the Gemara meant Bitmiya. You mean to say that he has to drink wine? The whole idea of Kiddush Alayayin is only Midi Rabbanon. Yotzi Kiddush Manator without the wine. Yotzi Abdullah without the wine. But Tosfos quotes that the earlier Rishonim all understood in the Gemara. He claims they misunderstood. They interpreted in the Gemara that the Nazir is permitted to drink the wine of Kiddush and Avdolah, that was never included in the prohibition. That's a fantastic Chiddush. The Torah says the Nazir is not permitted to drink Chaimetz Yayin. Not allowed to drink vinegar either. How does wine turn into vinegar? So there are microorganisms that drink up the wine and they give off the vinegar as a waste product. So let's say you had trefa wine. Let's say you had trefa wine. And these micro, let's say you have trefa food, and a cow eats the trefa food and it gives off milk. So is the milk trefa? No, just because the cow ate trefa food. If the cow doesn't eat any food, it doesn't produce any milk. It has to be strong, has to be healthy, has to have koyach. So if the cow eats trefa food and it gives off kosher milk, the milk is kosher. So some Rabbanim thought that the same is true over here. You have these microorganisms drink up all the wine and then they give off the vinegar as a waste product. So they thought that they had two chidushim. They had one chidush, it should be like a cow eating trefa food and milking the cow. That it should be mutter. And then they had chidush number two. That's another suggestion, both incorrect. Second suggestion was a waste product. That's like tzoya meirag lime. So the Gemara says that if you have tzoya meirag lime, so it's mutter. It's not awesome. First of all, tzoya meirag lime is mutter if it's not roi l'achila. But vinegar, everybody uses vinegar as they sell it in a grocery store. Everybody mixes in this tzoya meirag lime. So if you have meirag lime of microorganisms that everybody uses as an ingredient in food, you can't say that it's mutter. So that's a joke. The first one is also a joke. If you have a cow that you can see, it's visible, and the cow eats up the non-kosher food, and you milk the cow, so then the milk is kosher. But they were talking over here about microscopic organisms, microorganisms. So a microorganism, you don't say it's like a cow eating up a tray for food, and it gives off a different product. That's considered like an isa shenishtana. We treat it as if the wine converted into vinegar. If you're going to tell me that the vinegar is a waste product, then it's like that. So what does the Torah say? The Nazir is not allowed to drink chaimetz yayin v'chaimetz shecher. The Rabban Shalom didn't know the secret. Only the Rabbanim in America know the secret. God didn't know that God created the world. He knows the secret. So the Rabban Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right in the Chumash, the Chaimetz Yayin Chaimetz Shecher is exactly the same Isser as Yayin. Let it be an Isser Shenishtana. So that's what, there's a Machlekes, the Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rosh in Brochus, towards the end of Brochus. Rabbeinu Yoina has a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that he interprets as follows. If you have a piece of nevela meat sitting in a jar of honey, if you let it sit long enough, the nevela meat will turn into honey. So Rabbeinu Yoina interprets in the Gemara that the Gemara says that the nevela meat will become mutter. If a piece of nevela meat turns into honey, it's an issur shenishtana, becomes mutter. So the Rosh asks on the Rabbeinu Yoina, how does he know that that's true? The Rosh apparently had a different interpretation in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu Yoina interpreted that's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So the Rosh apparently has a different interpretation. Rosh learned like Rashi, has a different pshat than that Gemara. So that's a famous machlekes where the Issa Shenishtana becomes mutter or not. The Mishnah Brura takes a stand on, he quotes a Prima Gadim, a Mekel on their Rabbanans, a Machmer on their Isis. So it's only, so let this be an Issa Shenishtana. If you have wine that converted to become vinegar, it's really a different thing. It's really a waste product of the microorganisms that ate up the wine and they give off as an excretion, they give off the vinegar. So the answer is, it's only called an issur shenishtana if it undergoes a major change, if flesh turns into honey. But if wine, which has a spunky flavor to it, turns into vinegar, which has a charifus to it, so that's not considered issur shenishtana. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel points out. The Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that if I have tray for wine and it converted and it became vinegar, then the Gemara says pshita that it's awesome. Rabbi Yosef Engel asks, why is it pshita? But there, Rishonim hold that an issur shenishtana becomes mutter. So he said, you see, that's not called nishtana. Nishtana has to have a major shinui. That's not sufficient shinui. The nozer has to observe naziris for a certain amount of days. That's called the malos. That's a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. It's not calendaric days. So that's why the Gemara in the first perek in nozer discusses mitzvah hayom kekuloi. Let's say the nozer accepts upon himself to be a nozer. Has to be a minimum of 30 days. It doesn't have to be units of 30 days. It accepts upon himself to be a nozer for 45 days. So in the morning of the 45th day, the Gemara discusses the possibility of saying mitzvah hayom kekuloi. That's on a malos. So you can't say mitzvah hayom kekuloi Shabbos morning. We'll observe Shabbos morning and then we'll go to work. There are those who follow that suggestion. They go to work after they daven into Hashkama Minyan. Years ago, the Hashkama Minyan was for the people how to go to work. Yeah. So why don't you say Mikzayim Kukula? So the answer is that's a calendaric day. Calendaric day, you can't apply. But when it comes to Avelus, and when it comes to Azava, when it comes to a Nazir, this is a Malos, a unit of time that's superimposed on top of the calendar. So then you apply the rule of Mikzah Sayyam Kekula. Okay, the Seder is very rich with more dinim, but we got to go down to Mincha. They are good. Sunday people are available for Shia? Sunday, the other Shia are also in the morning or not?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Oh, I wouldn't be able to Sunday.
I thought maybe I'll give a share on Sunday at 11:30, unless there's an Avela share on Sunday morning.
No.
Okay, so maybe I'll give a share. Maybe we'll start Mitzvah Chalitza because I'm not up to preparing Dav Chavav Mitzvah Chalitza and Parshizim.